by Gerrard! Oh, yes! Here's Rooney!
Hello, hello, and welcome to our blank game week preview of FPL 360.
Yeah, so we have no games for Everton, Manchester City, Brighton, and Chelsea. I guess we'll start with, how does that affect your OFPL side?
I'm kind of just taking this week and whatever happens, happens. I could transfer out Leroy Sané, which is something that I'm thinking about doing, but I don't really feel the need to since I can field a starting 11.
Yeah, I just have like five players going in the Liverpool-Manchester United match, and I just don't know if I want to, because we were talking about this before, if it makes more sense for me to do some surgery and take a hit or just bank the transfer for next week.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid that hit, and that's the problem, because I know if I transfer Sané out now, I'm going to want to bring someone else in along with him.
Yeah, I mean, I brought in Ricardo Pereira preemptively last week, and I had him second on my bench, so I did not get his assist. He has a really, really good run of matches coming up. So I already planned a little bit ahead there. The thing for me is just, what do I want to do with Richarlison?
Dump him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to get rid of him. I just figured maybe I'll wait till next Wolves, Bournemouth, Cardiff, and then they have a bad run at the end of the season. So, I mean, if he scores against Spurs, that might tempt me to bring him in, but then again, if he scores against Spurs, that could be the last of the returns.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you feel like you're chasing lost points at this point. Also, you know it's bad with how shallow forward has been when Kane has been out for so long and he's still third in scoring of forwards.
Yeah, and then, like, Wilfred Zaha disappeared, and then I'm looking at it, and over his last five matches, he actually has two goals and two assists. They just haven't been pretty by any means. No, and they have Leicester, United, Burnley in their next three.
He's definitely back on the radar. But speaking of forwards that have disappeared, someone who I really want to talk about is, what the hell is up with Marko Arnautovic?
I have completely forgot about him.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I don't know. I mean, have you heard anything?
Well, like, after the whole, I want to go to China, but I actually love this team because they're going to pay me an awful amount of money, he's disappeared.
I mean, I know that he picked up a little bit of an injury.
Yeah, but he's had a little bit of an injury, like, every game since he's joined West Ham.
Yeah, I don't know if there's, it's probably a combination of, they don't think he's fully fit, so they don't want to play him, slash, like, they haven't been doing too terrible without him, so maybe Pellegrini's not trying to disrupt what's going on. Maybe he
but it's also like, if you're gonna,
is a little resentful about the contract stuff.
If you're gonna do this stuff, why didn't you just sell him, and why'd you sign this contract that's gonna end up Ozilling you?
I mean, it makes too much sense for West Ham.
Unfortunately, why would you
cash it? Yeah, why would you cash in on him when we could make him the highest played player at our club, and then deal with his nagging injuries for the rest of the season when we already have a capable front line? But yeah, but I mean, yeah, like, okay, if he's starting, if I knew he was starting, I would be very interested, but especially because they're at home.
No, I meant more the actual prospects for everyone else in that game.
Oh, I do like Antonio.
Yeah, I don't know what position Mikel Antonio is playing anymore, but he's been productive no matter where he's lined up on the right side of the field.
So I guess I want to say the last four matches, he's been back playing on the wing slash up front, and it was kind of a mixture. There was one match where he was playing up front, then there was one where it was debatable whether he was playing as a forward or on the wing, but he hasn't been playing at fullback. And I mean, he comes in with 2 goals and 4 assists from 17 appearances where he's primarily been playing defensive. And I mean, at 6.8, yeah, it's a little bit pricey in midfield, but the thing about Antonio, and this is something that I had pointed out the last 2 years, it's just he's run into injuries, but he's never finished with less than 8 goals and 8 assists in a season where he's played more than 2,000 minutes. So he's on pace for about 2,500 right now, and he's starting to play back in that attacking role. So, I mean, 6.8, it is a little bit more expensive than I'd like to pay for him, but if you were looking to hop on someone in the, you know, the 6.5 to 7 million range in midfield, I think you could do a lot worse. And the other thing that's nice too, he's selected by less than 2% of teams right now, so that he's kind of a differential I have my eye on.
But once Lanzini eventually is back, you assume that Antonio slides back to right back.
Yeah, I mean, the Lanzini thing's going to complicate things, but
I'm just saying it's more in an FPL standpoint where you're usually doing more medium to long-term planning as opposed to draft leagues where it's like, well, once Antonio doesn't actually start in the position that I want him in, I'll just drop him.
But I mean, I don't know if he necessarily is going to go back to playing defense.
Well, I mean, I can't claim that.
So kind of that's what I guess got my attention. Sticking with clubs with options in midfield, we should probably talk about Bournemouth. When do you think, I don't know what you've seen, but when do you think David Brooks and Callum Wilson will be back? Because it's starting to get very annoying waiting on them.
Well, I believe they're both slated for March. This is the fun of not doing these like once we have the latest injury updates, because theoretically Colin Wilson should be set to make a bench appearance soon, and David Brooks is ahead of schedule. So, I mean, they very easily could appear like on Tuesday and it wouldn't be that surprising, but
yeah,
they probably won't.
Yeah, I mean, the Cherries have one of the better finishes of the season from game week 30 to finish out. They only play one team in the top half, and that's Spurs in game week 37. My thing was I want to get Brooks back in. I just didn't know how long to wait. And I guess it obviously would make sense.
Probably on your wild card.
Yeah, when he comes back to wait to wild card. They do have Wolves and Arsenal and Man City, so they do have 3 matches where I probably wouldn't be too inclined to use him. Obviously this week, but Arsenal away, City at home. But yeah, come March, he's going to be a hot ticket, so that was why I was thinking maybe I want to jump the gun a little bit if I start to see other people being eager on getting Brooks back in.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be looking to get him in at some point, because I've been one of the early leaders of the David Brooks fan club.
Yeah, do you think they're going to beat Wolves?
Without
Brooks and Wilson?
Well, the funny thing is, Bournemouth's actually playing defense now, so if Stanislas plays, maybe.
Yeah, and then the only other, I think, injury thing from there, is Doherty as a knock, but I'm assuming he'll play since they've had some time off.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't.
Yeah, it's funny just talking about him because even though he's no longer producing points like he was before, it's still so hard to just not have him.
I mean, you can't drop him now because everyone has him. So if you're at a certain rank, you're going to lose so much ground. And then in draft leagues, it's like it doesn't even matter that he's not actually getting the assists because he still has so many key passes and other peripheral stats that he's an automatic starter week in, week out.
Which game do we want to go to next? How about Newcastle Huddersfield Town? This should be a cracker.
Is Carlin Grant going to get another goal?
Yeah, so Kolasinac's own goal got changed to a goal for Carlin Grant. Do we know why?
Because semantics.
Yeah. I thought that was a little bit of nitpicking.
I know that that score change was updated in Fantrax leagues because those are actually done via stat changes, but unfortunately, that means we still don't get our 12 points from Kolasinac that turned into 2.
Yeah, I'm pretty heated about that.
It's really annoying
when I saw that I was excited that I was like, "Oh, I'm going to pick up the ground that I gained the last 2 weeks."
Yeah,
and, or that I lost last 2 weeks, and then
an 84 point week would have looked a lot better. But there were a lot of people who were not very happy because that changed their Fantrax matchups.
Yeah, I would be pretty salty about that. This game is interesting because, as you mentioned earlier, how congested the table is right now. This is a game where Newcastle cannot afford to do anything but win.
Basically. I mean, luckily, they're playing Huddersfield of all teams, which is the one team in the relegation race.
You won't have to deal with it anymore.
I don't have that much faith. The defense is still...
Arsenal Southampton. I still like JWP. I mean, I like him every week. But given Arsenal's defensive issues,
I mean, at this point, it's like you don't know what Arsenal's going to show up from week to week. Because who'd they lose to in Europa play?
They lost to...
It was like Bate or something like that?
I have to Google it so I don't miss... They lost to...
Yeah.
Bate Borisov, I believe.
Bate, Bate, same difference. Yeah,
Bate Borisov. Yeah, they did not look too good in that match. No, but still, I mean, with Ings potentially back, but we're not sure. I mean, JWP outside of Redmond is probably their most dangerous attacker.
Well, and Redmond's cooled off heavily, so it's realistically probably JWP, very, very large gap, Charlie Austin.
Yeah. I mean, Stuart Armstrong, if he gets a start.
He still plays for them?
Yeah, he's been hot and cold. All right, let's get to the best part of this week's episode.
Well, we still have one more game.
Yep, Manchester United.
Two more games, then.
Hosting Liverpool.
There's also still Cardiff.
Okay, we'll talk about them first. Cardiff Watford, one of the two Friday matches. The other one is West Ham Fulham.
Cardiff just keep picking up points when it matters.
Yeah, I mean, is there anybody on Cardiff? I mean, like, well, like, goals can be created between Pogba and Rashford.
Or at what?
It's no secret.
At what point do you just play a 4-4-2 diamond with Lukaku and Rashford together and Pogba behind?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule that out of the cards for this weekend. It's just that United has looked so much better playing with pace, but if Martial's not going to be fit,
yeah, but for the match, it's also if you're playing Liverpool with pace, you're asking Liverpool to hit you on the counter, and like you can only ask so much from David De Gea, because like if it wasn't for bad finishing, Liverpool should have gotten some goals past Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see the lineup. There's a bunch of ways, like we said, that they can go. But I just think it's going to be, like it's going to be 2-1 Liverpool or 2-1 United.
I mean,
and it's just going to come through Pogba and Rashford, because just at this point they're on the same wavelength, and it's just remarkable to watch those two work together.
At this point, I'm full on United fanboy in this game, because I want Liverpool to drop these points very badly.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants Liverpool to win. I don't think Liverpool fans even want them to win, because then they have to continue being like, uh-oh, we can't handle the pressure. If they had it their way, they'd probably stay in second until the last day of the season, and then win it on there.
Well, it's just if Liverpool loses this game, that actually sets things up perfectly, because of the fact that Tottenham has to play both Liverpool and City.
What's your prediction, not what you want to happen?
I mean, my prediction is a 1-1 draw. Which still isn't a bad result for me.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling it'll be... I have a feeling it's going to be 2-1. Hopefully he was performing. Especially with being a knee injury. You don't want it to turn into a recurrent situation. So I guess in my expert opinion, I'm thinking maybe a couple substitute appearances before a start is in the question. But I do agree, I think you should add him if you can afford to hold him.
Yeah, which basically means every single 12-team league out there, because everyone has a dead bench spot somewhere where they can cut weight in a 12-team league, and probably still the majority of 10-team leagues as well.
Yeah, the way I would look at it is there's no way the guy you've been holding in a 12-team league for your throwaway spot on your bench in midfield has a higher ceiling than a player like Lanzini. So maybe you don't get him for, maybe you only get a couple starts out of him, but he's going to be worth it comparative to whoever else you're probably holding.
Hell, he's probably going to score more points the rest of the season than Richarlison.
I could definitely see that happening. Another question we got on Twitter from Adrian Ramos wants to know about trading Harvey Barnes. Who has a similar trade value?
This is a tough one.
Yeah, that's why I asked you, so I could hear what your opinion was, because I've been struggling with how to value him.
I mean, you kind of have to target an unknown if you're trading Harvey Barnes. Like, I think you could probably do Harvey Barnes in a 2-for-1 for Miguel Almiron.
Yeah, I could maybe see that happening. I mean, like, Barnes is literally had three shots in each of his starts. And I mean, 8.5, 5, 8.5, 7, 8, you know, that's pretty decent points for a guy you probably got just as a complete punt ad in midfield. I mean, you're going to have to package him, though. There's no way you're going to get one-for-one value from him for him.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't an adequate one-for-one value. And honestly, in a one-for-one deal
this week, as well as games at the weekend.
Okay. We'll see you next week. And as you know, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
And follow us on Twitter at FPL_360.